Hello and welcome to the Friday, December 12th, 2014 edition of the Sands and Storm Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich, and today I'm recording from Jacksonville, Florida. We are seeing more brute force attacks recently that are abusing a little feature of Gmail. In Gmail, you can come up with essentially an arbitrary number of email addresses based on the one email address that you have been assigned by Gmail just by adding additional parts with a dot ahead of it. Dots are also ignored in so far. You can use them, for example, to break up your user ID as well. So quite a few options here to come up with essentially an infinite number of email addresses that can then be used to brute force accounts. Typically, that happens on registration. A spammer, for example, tries to register an account with your site, and now they just try different combinations here to, for example, prevent a blacklists, but also, for example, if you use CAPTCHAs or the like, so they can have more attempts to bypass your CAPTCHA. The odd thing that we have seen is that we also see this as login brute force, which really only makes sense if you do have an account with us first, and none of these email addresses do have an account. And even though the additional dots and such, well, we would not ignore them. So interesting kind of little attack, and certainly if you do try to prevent brute forcing, be aware that if you lock accounts, that you do ignore these dots and such as you try to track how many times a particular user tries a different password. And I keep saying how cross-site scripting is often underestimated, so it's nice to see a blog by Gabor Szatmári, who actually outlines step-by-step how a recent WordPress cross-site scripting exploit can be used to steal credentials by modifying a login form. Pretty neat little demo if you need to demonstrate the impact of cross-site scripting vulnerabilities, in particular since it uses a rather recent version of WordPress. Another issue that's always difficult to demonstrate is how an attacker that has full access to a host has also access to encrypted communication that originates from that host. There's a new tool to do that now with PuTTY, the Windows SSH client, puttywriter.exe. This tool will inject a DLL into PuTTY processes and with that give the attacker full access to the encrypted communication, including the ability to inject new commands. Again, this does require that the attacker already has admin access to the system from which the PuTTY communication originates, but that's sort of sometimes the part that's often overlooked, that once you have a compromised system, encrypted communication from that host really can no longer be trusted. So essentially, this tool moves the man in the browser attack, as we often call it when it happens in the web browser, to a man in the terminal attack. And Microsoft recalled the Exchange update that was published on Tuesday because of the problems we indicated yesterday. This Exchange update causes problems with Outlook connecting to Exchange Server 2010 Service Pack 3. So if you're running Exchange Server 2010 Service Pack 3 and Outlook users have problems connecting to it, this rollup 8 may be the problem to blame, so you probably want to revert it. At this point, you should no longer be able to download and install this update until Microsoft releases a fixed version. And talking about patches going wrong, Apple did last week release Safari 8.01, which went bad and caused some users to end up with unrecoverable systems. Today, Apple released Safari 8.02, which is essentially the next attempt to release this particular update. It does fix a number of WebKit vulnerabilities that can lead either to data exfiltration via cross-origin problems or to straightforward code execution. So you probably should apply it sometime, I would say later on Friday. Give it again sort of 24 hours to work out the bugs. Well, and this is it for today. So thanks again for listening and talk to you again on Monday. Bye.